Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Walk Worthy of the Lord, a study of spiritual growth. In this session, we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 32, navigating the path of growth. Jerry Bridges, in his book, The Pursuit of Holiness, wrote, "If there is not then at least a yearning in our hearts to live a holy life pleasing to God, we need to seriously question whether our faith in Christ is genuine." Let's read our text, Ephesians 4, verses 17, well, first to verse 21. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus." It says, no longer walk. The word walk expresses daily conduct. Christians are not to live like the Gentiles or unbelievers. Paul gives four characteristics of the unbeliever's lifestyle. He said the unbelievers are essentially intellectually weak, the futility of their mind, incapable of godly understanding and moral living. Unbelievers are spiritually separated. It says they're alienated from the life of God, ignorant of God's truth, resulting in spiritual darkness and moral blindness. Unbelievers are morally insensitive, being past feeling, it says, more and more apathetic about moral and spiritual things. Unbelievers are basically depraved, lewdness, uncleanness, giving in to sensuality, losing moral restraints, sexual sins. That is the basic description of the unbeliever. The Christian is different. He has learned Christ, heard him, been taught by him, the apostle says. The truth about salvation, the truth about God, the truth about man, creation, history, life, purpose, relationships, hell, heaven, judgment, and everything else that is important is in Jesus. If God wants Christians spiritually mature, what hinders spiritual growth? Well, look at the rest of our text in verses 22 down to verse 32. "That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. What hinders spiritual growth? Well, first, a failure to leave some things behind. An evil nature, verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. The imagery is of taking off old filthy clothes, repentance from sin and submission to God. Salvation is a spiritual union with Jesus Christ. Death and burial of the old self and resurrection of the new self, walking in newness of life. Putting away falsehood. Therefore, putting away lying. This is more than simply telling direct falsehoods. Lying also includes exaggeration, adding fabrications to something that's true. Christians should have no part of lying. Instead, the believer is to speak truth with his neighbor. See, there are some things that we fail to leave behind, and because of that, no spiritual growth. We fail to leave behind the sins of the past. Verse 28, the first part of it, let him who stole steal no longer. Stealing in any form is a sin and has no part in the life of a Christian. Instead, a person is to work to provide for oneself and one's family and for others who have need. We fail to leave behind foul and abusive language. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. The word for corrupt refers to that which is foul or rotten, such as spoiled food or rancid meat. Foul language of any kind should never come out of a Christian's mouth. And why? It's out of character with a new life in Christ. Believers have been saved by grace and are empowered by grace. We can not leave behind hurtful attitudes and actions. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Bitterness, that reflects a kind of smoldering resentment. Wrath has to do with rage, the passion of the moment. Anger is a more internal, deep hostility. Clamor is the outcry of strife that's out of control. Evil speaking, slander. And malice is the Greek term for evil, the root of all vices. What hinders spiritual growth? Well, failure to leave some things behind. Second, hindering spiritual growth is a failure to embrace spiritual change. Failure to embrace spiritual change in your thoughts and attitudes. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Salvation involves the mind, which is the center of your thoughts, your understanding and your belief, as well as of your motives and actions. When a person becomes a Christian, God gives him a completely new spiritual and moral ability that is impossible apart from Christ. A failure to embrace spiritual change in your relationships. Verse 32. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Those who have been forgiven so much by God should forgive the small offenses of others. A graphic illustration of this truth is the parable of Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. The servant who had been forgiven a debt that for argument's sake, could be equal to $20 million by his master, refused to give the fellow servant who owed him 20 bucks. What hinders spiritual growth? Well, a failure to embrace spiritual change. And then third, what hinders spiritual growth? A failure to choose the best things. Learn to discern right from wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 states, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." An easy test for discerning right from wrong in those gray areas of life is to ask several questions. Will this activity benefit my spiritual growth? Am I in any way addicted to this activity? Would I be embarrassed if this activity became public? Does this activity cause others harm? Does this activity bring honor to God? Well, let me give you a question to think about this week. What one thing in my life is a hindrance to my spiritual growth? You ask that question. What one thing in my life is a hindrance to my spiritual growth? John Maxwell has identified four levels of maturity for Christians. And he gives them in progressive order, with the least mature viewpoint listed first. Least mature. I'm going to do what I want, regardless of any thought for God. Second, if God gives me what I want, then I will give Him what He wants. Third, I will give God what He wants with faith that He will give me what I want. And then the most mature, I will give God what He wants, regardless of any thought for myself. Many Christians spend the balance of their life at level 2 or 3. But the greatest joy is found at level 4. You have a great day.